Glory to God. We welcome you to this special prophetic 2019 broadcast and podcast of Setting the Standard of God's Excellence in Our Lives. My name is Pastor Helen Price. Let us begin today's podcast with a word of prayer. Dear kind Heavenly Father, I worship you this day in the beauty of your holiness for who you are in our lives. And we thank you above everything else this day as we come for your darling Son, Jesus Christ, and for your precious Holy Spirit. I worship you, Lord God Almighty, and give thanks to you, Lord God, for your good, your goodness, for your tender mercy, and for your amazing grace. Kind Heavenly Father, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that your grace, your mercy, and your compassion will abound greatly on behalf of every person and their loved ones who are listening to this message, not only now, but at a later date. And that you, Lord God, yourself this day will meet each and everyone listening at the point of their need, whatever that need might be. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, I want to share with you a very important and special message that the Lord has given me for this new year of 2019. Very quickly, before I share what that special message is, I want to give a foreword because some may question and say when they hear this word of exhortation that the Lord has given me for 2019 that their pastor or another famous minister did not give the same word that I am giving. They may say that this is not even the word that God has spoken to their own heart for 2019. However, we must understand how God moves. He will give a tailor-made message for a special group of people as he did with the Gospels. Remember that there are four different writers of the Gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel according to Matthew showed Jesus Christ as the King, the Messiah, who was to come into the world. Matthew gave several scriptures and genealogies targeting Jewish believers and proving that Jesus Christ was indeed the Messiah, the King of the Jews. The gospel according to Mark showed Jesus Christ as the servant of God, who went about doing good and healing all that were sick and oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Mark went right into the miracles of God and did not give any genealogies. The gospel according to Luke showed Jesus Christ as the man. Luke showed the humanity of Jesus Christ, who had to depend on the Father and the precious Holy Spirit daily. Luke showed more than any of the other Gospels how Jesus Christ depended upon the Father in prayer and what happened each time Jesus prayed. Each year, I like to challenge every believer who's listening to go back and read the book of Luke and notice how many times Jesus prayed and notice what happened each time he prayed in the Gospel of Luke. Then the gospel according to John showed Jesus Christ as very God himself, who became a human being. John 1 and verse 1 says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Verse 14 says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." So God will always have a tailor-made message for a special group of people. If you're listening, then this is a tailor-made message just for you. This special message for 2019 that the Lord has given to us is an exhortation that we are to know, to trust, and to rely on the mercy, the compassion of the Lord. I'm going to say that again. God wants us, even for this year of 2019, to know, to trust, and to rely on the mercy, the compassion of the Lord. And with this message comes an eye-opening warning to the body of the Lord Jesus Christ to be on the right side of mercy, because God's mercy is like a two-edged sword. We will also build our faith in three areas that will cause God's tender mercy to be activated swiftly on our behalf. That is, when we cry out to him, or when we call out to him, where there are situations where justice is needed, especially against injustice. Number two, God's mercy is activated and intertwined vitally with forgiveness. We'll also see, number three, that God's mercy is greatly activated when ones fast, that's F-A-S-T, when they fast, when they repent, humble themselves, and turn away from sin to God. This message is so vitally important for the body of Jesus Christ, not only this year of 2019, but for every year. So if you're listening to this message in another year and you say, oh my, that was 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and it may even be 100 years ago, we must know that and be intimately acquainted with the tender mercy of the Lord, because then we will know and understand why God does what he does. Because of the tender mercy of the Lord, he will touch you. He'll heal you, take away pain from you that even some medicines like Tylenol or Advil or some other kind of medicine can't or does not seem to help. He will rectify situations where there seems to be no recourse, especially in this internet age. He will open doors that others say cannot be opened and close others tightly so that it will never open again. Because remember, the word of God says that Jesus holds the key of David. He opens and where no man can shut, and he shuts what no man can open. Because of the tender mercies of the Lord, he will give you the special information that you need, and miracles of restoration in your mind, in your body, in your marriages, especially when the question comes, can this marriage live? He will give reconciliations in friendships, families, marriages, churches that have become rocky. Because of this tender mercy, God will help us concerning our finances, our neighborhood, our city, and in our country. Let us go first to our primary verse for this message. It's Psalms 145, verse 8 and verse 9. It says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies over all his works. Yes, the tender mercy of the Lord answers the questions, why does God heal, deliver, set free, and meet our needs? And why is God willing to move on our behalf? And if so, why is he so willing to help and participate in our daily lives? And also, why did he send his only begotten darling son, Jesus Christ, for us? The resounding answer to all of these questions is that it is because of his tender mercy, his compassion, his goodness and loving kindness over all that he has made. I'll read it again. Psalms 145, 8 and 9 says, the Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger, and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. In the Old and the New Testament, the Hebrew and Greek word for compassion is the same word used for mercy. So when we read about the mercy of God, it is talking about the compassion of God. And this year of 2019, or whatever year it is that you'll listen to this, God is exhorting us strongly that we must know and be so intimately acquainted with the mercy, the compassion, the willingness of God to move on our behalf, that it will motivate us to do as the Word of God says in Hebrews 4 and verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. On a daily basis, and when things happen, when we really know and trust and rely on the mercy of God, we will not hesitate to come boldly and quickly to God's throne of grace. Well, we will first and foremost receive the mercy of God. Pardon for that. Remember again that on a daily basis, and when things happen, when we really know and trust and rely on the mercy of God, we will not hesitate to come boldly and quickly to God's throne of grace. But we will first and foremost receive the mercy, the compassion, the loving kindness, the willingness and forgiveness of the Lord, and then find the grace we need, especially in times of trouble. We've got to understand that we can obtain the mercy of God, his loving kindness, his compassion, when we can come boldly. And when we know about his mercy, we'll run to him. We won't run away from him. There's a song by a lady named Whitney Houston, which many of you may know. And Whitney Houston sang a song, I Want to Run to You. Smokey Norville made it into a Christian song, I Want to Run to You. And that's what God wants to exhort us, no matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what you're facing. God says, don't run away from me, run to me. No matter what it is, whether it be big, whether it be small, God says in his word in Proverbs 3 and verse 5 and 6, to trust in the Lord with all your heart, to lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So what begins to happen is, no matter whether it's big or little, great or small, because God desires fellowship. And he has available to us his mercy. That's why he says again in Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly. He said, come boldly, run to me, unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain his mercy. Obtain means to take hold of his mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now, it's so important that we build our faith and also in the fact of God's willingness to do for us. Because the mercy of God speaks not only of the compassion of God, the loving kindness of God, but it also speaks of the willingness of God to do on our behalf. It's one thing to know that somebody is a merciful and compassionate person, but then you also wonder, will they be willing to do it just for you? You might ask that question, Lord, are you willing to do this for me? And so we have to know that the mercy of God answers the question concerning God's willingness. In Matthew 8, verse 1 through 3, the word of God says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, large crowds followed him. Suddenly a leper came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. We must know and remember that God is willing to do on our behalf. He's not only, he's the merciful, compassionate, loving and kind God, but he has a hand extended saying to us, I'm willing, I'm willing. Now, we must know also and remember that where the grace of God speaks of the free flowing and stability of God's love for us, the mercy of God speaks of the compassionate, loving kindness, willingness, and forgiveness of God extended to all mankind. Yes, mercy and grace are very important. Mercy and grace remind me of two sisters who are my friends on Facebook, named Lady Gladys and Lady Venus. They're two sisters who are lovingly called the Sisters of Thunder. Grace and mercy are like very close sisters. They're almost always found together because where there is mercy, grace will never be far away. In Ephesians 2 and verse 4 and 5, this is a great example of that. It says, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, remember, God is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our trespasses. And then it says, it is by grace you have been saved. Remember, wherever there is going to be mercy, you're not going to find the grace of God too far off. God's grace gives us what we did not earn. Grace is that unearned, unmerited favor of God. It is every earthly blessing and the ability, skill, and endowment for what God calls us to do. 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 9 says, God's grace is sufficient. It is enough for all that we need. The mercy of God, on the other hand, is a part of God's character, his nature, and his very being. Mercy holds back and keeps from us what we deserve. Moses knew God's ways, his character, and his nature. However, the children of Israel knew God's act. acts. In Psalms 103, verse 7 and 8, it says, He made known His ways unto Moses, His acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. In another translation, Psalms 103, verse 7 and 8 says, He revealed His character to Moses, and He showed all Israel what He could do. He showed him His actions, His deeds. Maybe you can remember in Exodus 33 and verse 18, when Moses made his request to God that He would show him His glory, His character, His nature, His ways. God wanted to really know God in a personal way before He would go any further with the people of God. Now, the great poet Maya Angelou is quoted for saying, when a person shows you who they are the first time, believe them, because they know more about themselves than anyone else does. Well, God told Moses in Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 about himself. And we are exhorted by God to believe what he says about himself. Exodus 34, verse 6 and 7 says, And the Lord passed by before him, that is Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children until the third and to the fourth generation. This was the answer that Moses needed, because he knew that he needed a merciful, compassionate God to go with him and to go with them. Moses' response to God revealing himself to him in Exodus 34, verse 8 and 9 says, Then Moses quickly bowed to the ground and worshiped. He said, Lord, if you are pleased with me, please go with us. I know that these are stubborn people, but forgive our evil and our sin. Take us as your own people. Glory to God. Now I want to share a short testimony about my youngest daughter, Amber, who is now in her 20s. She was homeschooled under a public homeschool program called K-12 from the 5th to the 9th grade. They gave her a computer of her own and all of the supplies she would need. For accountability and social interaction, we would meet at the Groves, Barnes & Noble with other publicly homeschooled children. And this is when we lived in Los Angeles. We were living in Los Angeles at that time. I was amazed to learn and see that most of the homeschooled children who met with us were young Jewish boys. They told us that they were trained first in the things of God for a few hours each day when they arose. And then they did their public homeschool work. One of the most important and special things that each of the Jewish boys learned, even as a young child, is to pray. They began to learn to pray what is called the Shema, S-H-E-M-A. And they would pray this prayer two times a day, in the morning when they awakened, and at night when they would go to bed. One of the most important things that they learn in prayer is about the mercy, the compassion of the Lord. These young Jewish boys learn and are taught about the merciful, compassionate goodness and willingness of the Lord to move and operate in their life even from a very early age. We too, as believers in Jesus Christ, need to learn to be taught and build our faith, our trust, and our reliance in the mercy and compassion of the Lord our God. In Deuteronomy 4 and verse 31, it says, For the Lord your God is a compassionate God. He will not fail you nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant with your fathers, which he swore to them. In Psalms 23 and verse 6, it says, Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. In Psalm 62 and verse 11 and 12, it says, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Verse 12 says, Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendereth to every man according to his work. In Psalms 86 and verse 5, the word of God says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." Lamentations 3 verse 22 and 23 is a special verse for every believer. It says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Do you see that every single morning, God says there's new mercy for us, new compassion, new loving kindness, new willingness, new forgiveness for us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God is so good to all. Now, what I want to talk about next is that we must remember that there are actions and situations that will cause God's mercy, his compassion, to be activated swiftly. God's tender mercy is activated swiftly when ones cry out to him, or when they call out to him, where there are situations where justice is needed, especially against injustice. God's mercy is activated also and intertwined integrally with forgiveness. And God's mercy is greatly activated when ones fast, F-A-S-T, repent, humble themselves before God, and turn away from sin to God. In Psalms 50 and verse 15, the word of God says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Remember, when your faith is built in the mercy of God, Hebrews 4:16 says, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, that you may obtain and take hold of the mercy of God." So when you come in there and you say, "Lord, do you see what they're doing? Do you see what they're saying? Do you see what's happening?" And when you begin to call upon the Lord, God will come and answer you because of his tender mercy. Why does he do it? Because of his tender mercy. Remember, we're going to believe what God says about himself. In Psalms 34 and verse 17, the word of God says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Beloved, did you know that God even collects the tears that we cry? In Psalms 56, verse 8 and 9, it says, "You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book." It says in verse 9, "When I cry unto thee, then shall my enemies turn back. This I know, for God is for me." See, the word of God talks about that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. This message in 2019 of knowing, that means to know, which means to be intimately acquainted with the mercy of God, to know, to trust, and to rely on the mercy of God. When your faith is built in that, then you'll begin to cry out to God. You'll come to him when situations come, whether big or small, and involve God in every area of your life. Many people do say that God is in control. The answer to that is, if you give him that control by coming to him and crying out, say, "Lord, I want your involvement." He didn't make us like robots or automatons or whatever you want to call it. He made us free moral agents that we could come to him. And that's why he's building our faith, to say, he's saying, "I'm available. I'm here for you. I'm a God who is a God of mercy, of tender, loving kindness. I'm willing to do on your behalf." We see this greatly, the mercy and the compassion of the Lord greatly manifested in the New Testament. Philip said in John 14:8, "Show us the Father, and it suffices us," or "it's enough for us." Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father." Jesus said, "When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." In the New Testament, Jesus was moved greatly by mercy and by compassion. As a result of Jesus's mercy and compassion, good always came next. Out of compassion and mercy, Jesus healed the people. He fed the people. He taught the people. He forgave the people. Remember that these two words, mercy and compassion, are the same in the word of God. In fact, Jesus is the greatest expression of God's mercy and of his grace. Because in order to bring us into right standing with the Father, in order for us to become his children, he gave his one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, who suffered and bled and died and took on our sins to make us acceptable and to bring us into right standing with the Father. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So let's look very quickly that each time Jesus was moved with mercy and compassion, something happened. Remember again that mercy and compassion are that same word. In Luke 7, verse 12 through 15, it says, "Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother. And she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her." The word says in verse 13, "He had compassion on her and said unto her, Weep not." And he came and touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He had compassion on the widow woman. Her husband had died. She was a widow. And our only son had died. And he was moved with compassion. He had compassion and raised her son from the dead. He said to her, "Weep not." He was moved by her. He said, "Weep not." And her child was raised from the dead. Then in Matthew 9 and verse 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. He cares about people. He was moved with compassion. In Matthew 14 and verse 14, again we see that Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude. And again it says he was moved with compassion toward them and he healed their sick. So we see now he was moved, and as a result, something always good happens when Jesus Christ is moved with compassion. He healed their sick. In Matthew 20, verse 30 through 34, it says, "And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And the multitude rebuked them because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou son of David. And Jesus stood still," it says in verse 32. I want you to know, when you begin to cry out for the mercy of God, he will stand still to hear you. "And Jesus stood still," the word of God says, and called them and said, "What will ye that I shall do unto you?" They say unto him, "Lord, that our eyes may be opened." So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight and they followed him. You see, the word of God says here that Jesus had compassion on them, that mercy was even activated by their cry unto the Lord. A man with leprosy came and begged Jesus on his knees. In Mark 1, verse 40 through 42, "And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus moved with compassion." Here we see again, he was moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, "I will, be thou clean." And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. In Mark 6 and verse 34, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things." When Jesus came and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Because of his compassion, his mercy, he began teaching them many things. That's where the place of teaching comes in. Where God, he looks upon the people to know what they need. Sometimes we look at people and we say, they ought to do better than this. But sometimes there are people that don't know how to do better. And some people have to be taught. Sometimes we look at morality and see people with what we consider low morals. They will go out and have no morality or no morals at all. But sometimes people just don't know. There's some things people just don't know. And the word of God says when Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. They didn't have anybody to lead them, to guide them. Can you see a bunch of sheep with no shepherd? Out on a field with no shepherd? You know, they said some people have said sheep are the dumbest things. I don't know. Do your study and find out. But can you see a bunch of sheep having no shepherd? I remember seeing an article about one sheep. That sheep was out, and he had lived out in the woods and had lived out there so long, and he had gotten away from the rest of the sheep, where they were sheared and could take the load of all of that wool off of their backs. But this sheep had so much. I think they said he had about 200 pounds of wool on. He had not been sheared. And one day when the shepherds found him, and this is a true story, you can even Google it and find out the sheep that was sheared, that had all that. I forgot what his name was, what they named him later on. But they took him, and when they took him in there, they sheared all that sheep off, that wool off, but his legs had to be helped because he had hurt his legs from carrying all the weight of all of that on him. And so that's why Jesus gives that invitation, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. And he says, I will give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. That's why he tells us to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. That's where teaching begins, because the entrance of God's word will give you light. It gives understanding unto the simple. Sometimes we just need a little light. We need light to know how to maneuver in this earth realm. And that's why God, in his compassion, and Jesus in his compassion, his mercy, his loving kindness, his willingness to do for us, will even begin to teach us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then the word of God says in Mark 8 and verse 2, Jesus said, I have compassion on the multitude because they've not been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. It was here, if you read further, you'll find out that because of his compassion that he miraculously fed the multitude. Already we've looked and seen that because of his mercy and compassion, he raised the only son of a widow woman from the dead. We saw that he had mercy and compassion, and he began to heal their sick. He had mercy and compassion, and he began to teach them many things. He had mercy and compassion because they'd gone without eating for so long, and he fed the multitude. In Mark 10 and verse 46 through 52, blind Bartimaeus is famously known as one who persistently cried out to Jesus. He said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. In Mark 10 verse 46 through 52, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. They were telling him to shut up. But he cried the more, a great deal. They were telling him to be quiet. Thou son of David, he cried the more, a great deal, saying, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And as he did with the lepers, in verse 49 it says, and Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. He asked him the question, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And he's asking each one of us, beloved, what will you have for me to do for you? He said, come boldly to my throne of grace. that you may obtain and take hold of my mercy, even through his darling son, Jesus Christ. He said you come into that room where you may obtain that mercy, his love, his compassion, his love, his kindness, his willingness to do for you, his forgiveness. And when you get into that room, he'll ask you the question, what will you have for me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And as you begin to ponder that and think on it, he's asking us that question today. What do you want me to do for you? And then we can go into the finding the grace we need, because grace is that unearned favor, that favor of God. It is every earthly blessing. And then it's the skill and the ability that we need in order to go forth in what he calls us to do. So remember, we see that because of the mercy and compassion of God, he meets the healing and spiritual needs of his people. Now, how great is that? Beloved, how great is that? Remember that the mercy, the compassion of the Lord is greatly activated. We said before, when we cry and call unto God. Remember again, Luke 18:1 says, he says that men are always to pray and not to faint. And he said, and how? In Luke 18:7 and 8, it says, and shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him? Though he bear long with them, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Another translation says, in verse 7, God's people shout to him night and day, and he will always give them what is right. Beloved, God will always give you what is right. He will not be slow to answer them. Verse 8 says, I tell you, God will help his people quickly. Do you see that when they shout to him, there are some things that will activate the mercy, the love, the compassion, the willingness of God. It's when God's people shout out to him, call out to him. Verse 8 says, I tell you, God will help his people quickly. But he says, when the Son of Man comes, will he find people on earth who believe in him? That's why this message is so very important, because God wants our faith to be built in his mercy, that he is a merciful God. He wants us to believe him for that. Now, this is where the warning comes in for the believer in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that the mercy of God is like a two-edged sword that cuts in two directions. One edge is on behalf of those who cry and call out to God, and the other is in vengeance on behalf of those who cry. And remember, beloved, we want to be on the right side of that mercy sword. You don't want to be on the wrong side of the mercy sword. Exodus 2 and verse 23 says, after a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned and cried out under their burden of slavery, and their cry for deliverance from bondage ascended to God. In Exodus 22 verse 23, it's very important to remember, because God sees, he knows, he cares. So we say that tritely sometimes. God sees, he knows, he cares, but he does. I want you to know, everything you're going through today, God sees it. Everything you've ever gone through and will go through, God sees it. He knows, he cares. And because of his tender mercy, he will come to the rescue and aid of his children. In Exodus 22 and verse 23, it says, if you do mistreat them and they cry out to me in distress, I will surely hear their cry. Beloved, you don't want to be on the wrong side of mercy and have somebody come and crying out to God because you're doing them wrong. Because God will see it. He knows, and he will be working behind the scene to swiftly come and bring vengeance and to avenge those ones who have been treated badly. In James 5 and verse 4, it says, behold, James 5 and verse 4 says, behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. And the cries of them which have reaped are entered into the ears of the Lord of Sabbath. It said, and this in the ESV Bible, James 5 verse 4 says this way, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. See, the money that was supposed to be paid to those laborers are crying out, it says, against you. And the cries of the harvesters had reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. And why do I say you want to be on the right side of mercy? You don't want to encounter God as the Lord of hosts, the captain of the armies of God. You know, sometimes people say there are people who come and stomping like a big dog, they'll say. Like a big giant coming. But honey, the Lord of hosts, God Almighty in battle with the host of his armies. That's why when Elijah and his servant were out there, and the servant was so frightened because he saw the other armies that out there were coming against Elijah. And Elijah said, open his eyes, Lord, that he may see. And there he saw the Lord of hosts, all the army of God that was coming to fight on behalf of Elijah. Beloved, you don't want to be on the wrong side of mercy. You don't want to be on the side where somebody got to come and cry out to God because of something that you've done to them. Glory to God. And so he said, behold, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields that worked for you, which you kept back by fraud, are crying out against you. And the cries of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts, the Lord of Sabaoth, that is the captain of the Lord's army. Hallelujah. Not only is mercy activated because of those who cry out to God, but we see here that wages that should be paid will cry out, but also land. The land will cry out. Job 31 and verse 38 says, the land will cry out when it's been abused. Walls and rafters of buildings and homes, there are things that go on inside. Sometimes there's incest, abuse. There are all kinds of things that are done in office buildings or in homes. And the word of God says in Habakkuk 2 and verse 11 that the walls and the rafters, R-A-F-T-E-R-S, will cry out to God. Those walls will cry out to God. Do you see what's going on in here? Do you see what's being said in here? Do you see what's being done in here? Those walls and rafters will cry out to God. And the blood of those killed like Abel's blood will cry out as it did in Genesis 4 and verse 10. When God said, what have you done? Replied the Lord. The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Hallelujah. We've got to understand that there are cries that will come. The cry of money will come that is owed. You owe and say, well, I don't have to pay that back. I don't have to do that. But that money is crying out right now. That money is crying out. Oh, that I buy seer unto the Lord. The wages that should have been paid are crying out to the Lord. In the name of the Lord Jesus. The land is crying out to the Lord. The walls, the rafters are crying out to the Lord. The blood of innocent ones are crying out to the Lord. And then we must also address how mercy is intertwined with the forgiveness of God. Let us remember that because of the greatness of the mercy and compassion of God towards us, that God's people, we his people, are also to be full of mercy. We are to possess it, apply it in our lives, and put it into practice daily in our contact with other people, consistently. Luke 6 and verse 36 says, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. In Matthew 18, verse 21 through 35, this is a passage of scripture that you need to put up on your wall. And if you're in the office, you need to put it up in your office. If you have a business, you need to put it up in your business. Whatever it is, you need to put Matthew 18. We need to put Matthew 18, 21 through 35 and learn it very, very well to keep it in the forefront of our mind and memory. This is where one man cried out to God for mercy. He wanted more time to pay a debt. He was forgiven a great debt. Somebody said that it was $10 million he owed. And he was forgiven of that $10 million debt. Yet he had a servant who owed only about $1,000, a very much lesser debt. And he would not even forgive his servant that debt. And God warns us in Matthew 18, verse 18, chapter 18, verse 33, he said, shouldest not thou also have had mercy, compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was angry and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35, here it is, the warning. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. It is vitally important that we who have received the mercy of the Lord also forgive others. Yes, God takes when he forgives us and throws our sin into the sea of forgetfulness. But we must never forget where he has brought us from, what he's forgiven us. I'm talking about that, how he's thrown that and he has forgiven us. So that when somebody comes and they come at us and we want to be determined, I will not forget. That's why I told you that there is one thing I love, Michelle Obama. I love President Obama's wife, Michelle Obama. But the one thing in her book, I believe it was a great mistake that she wrote when she said she would never forgive the President Donald Trump for what he did concerning when her husband was in office. Because we can never take the stance that we'll walk in unforgiveness, because we have been forgiven of so much. And here it is from God himself who says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if you from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Because hers should be that, number one, that God kept them for those 8 years, and her husband wasn't assassinated. She wasn't. Her mother that lived in there wasn't. Her children weren't assassinated. Her brother wasn't assassinated. God kept them out of the appreciation to God for what he had done for them. Her response should be, Lord God, you've been merciful and kind to my family. Now I will forgive him. Now nobody said she had to be chummy friends with him, but she can forgive him because of what God has done for her. So it's vitally important that we who have received the mercy of the Lord also forgive others. It's really his mercy and forgiveness is vitally intertwined in the Bible. In Mark 11:25, it says, when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive them so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins. In Matthew 6, verse 14 through 15, it says, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Matthew 6 and verse 12 says, in the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Lastly, as we begin to close today, we must know that God's mercy and compassion is activated when one's fast, F-A-S-T, when they repent and humble themselves and turn away from sin to God. In the Bible, King Manasseh and King Ahab were two of the most wicked kings, but both of them repented and humbled themselves before God, and because of his great tender mercy, they were forgiven by God. In 2 Chronicles 33, 12 through 13, and when Manasseh was in affliction, he sought the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him and heard his supplication and brought him again to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. Manasseh had been wicked. But he began to entreat the Lord. He besought the Lord and humbled himself greatly before the Lord and prayed unto him. And he was entreated of him. He was entreated of God. And God heard his supplication and restored him to his kingship. And then Manasseh knew that the Lord, he was God. And then also in 1 Kings 21, verse 20 through 29, Elijah was sent to the very wicked king Ahab, the husband of Jezebel, to tell them what their punishment was going to be because they had a man killed for his land. When Ahab heard what was going to happen to them, in verse 27 of 1 Kings 21, it says, and it came to pass, when Ahab heard these words, that he rent his clothes. He put sackcloth upon his flesh and fasted and lay in sackcloth and went softly. And the word of the Lord came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, seest thou how Ahab humbleth himself before me? Because he humbleth himself before me, I will not bring the evil in his days, but in his son's days will I bring the evil upon his house. Ahab humbled himself, that wicked king. And God noticed because he humbled himself before him, fasted, and lay in sackcloth, and went softly before the Lord. Lastly, because of the mercy and compassion of the Lord, we will now have a better understanding when we read the book of Jonah and why Jonah decided to run. Jonah was very acquainted with the mercy of God and knew that if he did what God told him to do, that if the people responded and repented, that God would not destroy Nineveh. Jonah 1 and verse 1 says, "Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid," somebody said it was 2,000 miles away. "So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it, and to go with them into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." And we know what happened in chapter 2. Read it for yourself about the fish that swallowed up Jonah. And then we go to chapter 3 after he had come out and that fish had spit him out. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, "Arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee." And all he had was an 8-word sermon. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into that city a day's journey. And he cried and said, "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." 8 words, an 8-word sermon. "Yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown." So the people, verse 5 says in chapter 3, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed upon published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not?" And verse 10 says, "And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." Here it was, 120,000 plus people who even had their animals fast. You ever had when you went on a fast, did you put your dog, your cat, did you put your fish on a fast with you when you went on a fast? Well, here they had neither, that they said, "Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock taste anything. Let them not feed nor even drink water." He wouldn't even let them have any water. You ever had where you told your dog and your cat, "Look now, I'm going to tell you, or your horse or your cow or your mule," you said, "Okay, we all going to fast." And the king went so far as to proclaim, hallelujah, and make by decree of the king and his nobles, all the nobles, and that was one of the greatest things that you ever will see. And then God said, God saw it, and he turned from their, and that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. But in chapter 4, what God did displeased Jonah exceedingly in verse 1. And he was very angry. Jonah was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, "I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God, and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil." But then God came down in verse 11 and said to Jonah, he said, "And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, wherein are more than 60,000 persons, that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle?" Oh, the mercy of God. Hallelujah. In this year, new year of 2019, God, by his precious Holy Spirit, is encouraging and challenging each of us to really study and research about the mercy of God, about his compassion, his loving kindness, willingness, and forgiveness. I want you to know we're only scratching the surface, even in this amount of time that we've done today. It is remember that his mercy and compassion is a part of his character and nature. God wants us to really know, to have faith, to trust, and to rely on his mercy and compassion. Then we will always run to him and not away from him. We will come boldly to his throne of grace to obtain and take hold of God's mercy and compassion first, and then find the grace that we need in time of trouble. Let us remember that God's mercy, his compassion, is activated swiftly as we cry and call unto him, as we forgive others, and as we humble ourselves before him by fasting and with true repentance, turning away from sin unto God. And let us remember beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jesus Christ is the greatest embodiment and example of the mercy and of the compassion, the loving kindness, the willingness, and forgiveness of God. As we close this service today, this broadcast and podcast today, may you continue to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. And may his standard of excellence be set in every area of your life. Remember that the word of God says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This day, if you're not sure of your salvation, please say with me, Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and life. I do believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that God raised you from the dead. I repent of all my sins. I give my heart and life to you. Lord, I ask you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to baptize and fill me to overflowing with your precious Holy Spirit and with love, power, might, ability, and strength. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, according to Acts 20 and verse 32, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace that is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are set apart in Jesus Christ. God bless each and every one of you today.